I'd like to invite you to join me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And as he's putting that up, by next Sunday we'll have the new screens installed. And again, we're just thankful that when that one fell, Johnny wasn't sitting underneath it. It's got a hard head. It probably wouldn't have hurt him, but, you know, we still don't want to test it. But we're underway, and we're thankful that we can be restored. And if you need to move to be able to see the kind of lone screen, please feel free to do that. Again, the Apostles' Creed is probably the most succinct and straightforward statement of our Christian faith. It is lived in the church for millennia. It is the core at which most denominations, it is the core that Christians around the world hold. So please join me in reciting these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I want to call our attention to that last line in the middle paragraph. The Creed is set up to speak about the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Trinitarian, and in the center one, we have the words of life about Jesus. And it begins, I believe in Jesus Christ. And that paragraph concludes, and he, Jesus, will come again to judge the living and the dead. When was the last time you thought about Jesus' return? Jesus coming again to judge the living and the dead. It's the topic of Jesus' words for this morning. Luke 17, beginning in verse 20. And I pray, God, as we open our Bibles or get ready to read it off the screens, I pray that you would take Jesus' words and make them alive to us today. In his name I pray. Amen. This is one of those passages, as I begin to read, that you have to pay attention to the audience, who he is speaking to, and you need to watch when it shifts. It begins, once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Let's just hold there for a moment. Ideas about God's Messiah coming and setting up the Jewish nation in power and in strength was filtered throughout Jewish understanding. To teach the Jewish faith in Jesus' day was to believe that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to establish God's kingdom, and it would be visible and it would be powerful. And as you read the Gospels, you get this sense that there is this growing air of excitement. That in Jesus, God is doing something, and people were beginning to wonder, is he the Messiah? Is he the one that's going to bring this kingdom with power? Now, Jesus, he doesn't always answer people straight away. He often takes a question and turns it to make a different point. And that's exactly what he does here. He says, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Or people will say, here it is, there it is. It's not like this country or this kingdom or this army is coming. And he said, that's because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, we might scratch our head a little bit on that. What's that mean? The kingdom of God is in your midst, Jesus says to the Pharisees. The kingdom of God is within your grasp, Jesus says to the Pharisees. What he's really saying to them is, guys, the kingdom of God is here and it's in me. That is a pronouncement that God's kingdom resides in Jesus. It is unmistakably a statement by Jesus to those Pharisees that the kingdom is connected to Jesus, that he's bringing it. It's right there. It's in your midst, just like I am in your midst right now. That's what Jesus is saying. The entire point of Jesus' ministry is to establish himself as God, God's Son, and God's Messiah. To miss that is to miss why Jesus came. And the Pharisees are struggling with that. It's as if he says to them, you have been following me for 3 years. You have been paying attention to what I'm saying. You've been watching all the things I'm doing, including the miracles. Don't you get it? The kingdom of God is about me. Belief in me. Following me. Trusting in me. And that word remains to this day. No matter how we seek to define the kingdom of God, at the core of what the kingdom is where is Jesus? Is he active? Is he working? Is he moving? Is it growing in his name? Then the kingdom is there. Our worship this morning, by no accident, was all about Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. Now, Jesus takes this simple question, and he now turns it into a teaching. But notice how the audience changes. He starts talking with a Pharisee, and now he turns to speak to his disciples. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. In other words, you're going to long to see me. See, this is just confirmation that it's about him. You're going to long to see those days when I was walking with you. People will tell you, here he is, there he is. Don't go running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning with which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. The problem many of the Jewish people have and the problem we struggle with is that the kingdom of God came in two phases. It came in the person and work of Jesus Christ when he walked this earth for 3 years. It lives now through the church and other ways that God is working in this world to raise up the name of Jesus. And it'll come in fullness when he comes back. Oh, to judge the living and the dead. Listen how he unfolds that. Just as it was in the day of Noah, so it'll be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. Up to that day, Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day of the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who goes to the housetop with possessions inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, the other left. Now the disciples, they're not fully getting it. Where, Lord? In other words, where are they going to be taken, Lord? And he replies, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. And that one's a little bit of a head scratcher too. The point is, that's going to be day of devastation and destruction. When Jesus returns, it will not be a pretty day. And just like vultures find the roadkill on the highway, or find the carcass left after an animal is attacked, eaten, and then left part of the animal, on that day will be the vulture's day, because many will die while others are saved. Folks, it is not a pretty picture. That's Jesus' point. It's going to come like a surprise. We don't know when this will happen. We're given some inklings in the scriptures, but truthfully, we don't know. And the inklings aren't enough to be able to say, hey, it's this day or that day. Beware of people who tell you that. For 2,000 years, the church has been trying to guess the day, and we've gotten it wrong every time, because it's going to come like a thief in the night, Jesus says. And it will be a day of harsh realities. Some will be left, some will be taken. What's the difference? How do you know? You know by whether you're walking with Jesus or not. The primary point, the big aha of this little bit of teaching by Jesus is, be ready. Are you ready? Because you don't know when this will happen. You know, in the last month or so, we have watched two huge storms. And weather people, while not being able to give us an exact location and time, were pretty close. I mean, these weather models were amazingly close. And I have to confess that I do scratch my head a bit about people who say, I'm just going to hang out when the mayors or these people say evacuation, mandatory evacuation, get out of here. You got time. Go. And some people will go, I'll ride it out. It won't affect me. I'll be okay. And unfortunately, some of those people today are not okay. This is Jesus' evacuation notice. He is saying that day will come. And the way to survive that day is to put one's faith, one's trust, one's belief in Jesus, who is God's kingdom incarnate. Have you? Really, a very simple question. Have you put your faith in Jesus? We sang that song, "It All Belongs to you. Does it? Can you sing that song with an honest heart, or just mouth the words that everything belongs to Jesus? He will come again to judge the living and the dead. In my own personal Bible reading today, I happen to be in John chapter 20. And John ends that chapter by saying, "These things are written that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." That's how we prepare for the coming of Jesus. In our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls, in the depth of our being, we say, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are who you say you are, the Messiah, the Son of God." Because when we believe in Jesus, God takes the sins we've committed and He washes them clean with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God says, "Not only are you clean, but I welcome you. I give you a new name, in effect. I adopt you into my family. You are now mine." So when Jesus comes, it's not going to be a frightening moment for us. It's like our big brother's coming home. Dad's emissary has come for us. That's the message. And the question really for each of us in this room is, are we ready? And the way we're ready for that day to come is to put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Are you offering Him lip service or real faith? Let's pray. In the silence of this moment, each of our hearts are speaking. Our hearts are confirming or not confirming that we believe in you, Jesus. I pray for each person in this room that you will work inside of them, answering questions if there are lingering questions, providing whatever is needed to overcome the doubts that faith is that simple to truly confess you, Jesus, as Lord and God, God's Son among us. That faith is really that simple, that in your name, Jesus, we can admit our sins, we can confess our sins, those things we've been carrying, and be forgiven and welcomed into the Father's family. In the quietness of this moment, I pray particularly for people who are not sure or have not yet taken that step of faith to put their trust in you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would infuse them with the strength to pray, "Jesus, I am yours. Wash me in the sacrifice of your cross. Forgive my sins. Father in heaven, adopt me as a child because I believe in your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come now and fill me that I may understand the truth of Jesus and walk as you would have me walk. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.